Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
On YouTube, on podcast, on live, this is Rebel Yell from the WFCSN. This is the Rebel Yell podcast, supported by MK Window Cleaning and Price Jones Electrical.
Welcome to episode 4 of the 23-24 season of the Rebel Yell podcast. Joining me, the usual culprit, Spencer. Are we okay?
Mate. Evening.
He said Rebel. Evening. Yakko. Well, I said Jacko.
Evening. Morning.
Oh, can you?
Afternoon.
It's morning somewhere.
It's morning somewhere.
Somewhere sometimes.
Hello, James. How are you?
We are good. We're good. Good to be back, guys. We do apologise. It's been 2 months, but life gets in the way. Football gets in the way because we've had a bloody lot of football. Some enjoyable, some painful.
Less enjoyable.
Some less enjoyable. But football's football. And, you know, I would say, you know, we are a fans podcast. Beginning this podcast, I think we would say that, you know, I think this is the first time and since we really do this, there has been criticism of some aspects of players, some aspects on the pitch. And I've not seen that as a Worthing fan ever since really I've been here, because ever since I've been here the past 5-6 years has been on upward trajectory. Would you agree with that, guys?
I think the team performances on the pitch have still been a high level. I think you may be highlighting one or two individual performances.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about more like social media. You see, like, after a lot of games now, there's quite a lot of abusive comments on the internet, and quite a lot of
I wouldn't call it abusive comments. I think it's people saying that people got their opinions, and everybody has got an opinion, and you know, you should respect people's opinions. And I wouldn't call it's not abuse, but you know, and I think
strong feelings,
because things are not going as they have been the last couple of seasons. But we're winning, playing great football, and at the moment we're struggling a bit.
Mm.
And I think that's, you know, it's part of football, but we had some great years, so
we're still top half in a very tight table.
And you know, if you think some of the clubs we play are full time professionals, and
haven't,
where are they? But 10 points adrift at the bottom.
Well, talk. If we talk about haven't, I thought Dulwich was the worst team I've seen here last year when we beat them 6-0 or 7-0.
I haven't
even overtook that day. Well,
their keeper kept them in that game. I'm not being funny. We should have made up some of our goal difference on that game.
I mean, it would have been absolute cricket score. Like, and also we didn't really.
We
didn't even turn up, because I don't think we needed to. No. I think if, take away the goalkeeping, if we had actually turned up,
but
it was name your own score.
I think they're in trouble, haven't, for various reasons.
I don't think they're going to get out of that position. They're 10 points adrift, and that was before yesterday. Oh, Tuesday.
This is a Worthing podcast, yeah. So, but there's something very wrong at haven't. On the pitch off.
And I guess that's why they don't want to, you know, they Worthing have got to be so careful about going to a full-time model, haven't they? Because if it could be too far too soon and we end up in a similar situation as haven't, and getting the wrong players, the wrong ideas, it could, I mean, at the moment, if we talk in May, I wouldn't be surprised if haven't are one of the teams that are relegated.
But the situation we're in, we've got players who want to come here and want to play for Worthing. Where the situation haven't are in is they're having to find players that just fit their model. They're not necessarily the players they want.
But is it also more money driven at Haven?
It's more of a convenient arrangement.
Well, we know a player left Worthing for more money, and did he really want to go to Haven, or was it for a financial decision which he would take? But that player's now left Haven and gone to another full-time
club. I would
club.
Never blame the player, because if obviously everybody, the young players here, they want to be professional, they want to play professional football, and this player had a chance to do it. Oh, good luck to him. You know, he's been twice to his club. He's done good things for the club. Yeah. They scored a lot of goals for us. Was a good player, and good luck to him.
It's professional development, and that particular player as well, as far as I'm aware, it freed up with morning training, freed up evenings for his home sort of personal business commitments.
Well, let's just summarise the past couple of months with the men's team. We've had, I've got notes in front of me. We've had a few big losses, a couple of big losses in particular away from home. We've qualified for the first round of the FA Cup proper for the first time in 23 years, which was such a memorable away day and one that I always remember. We thrashed Crawley in the Sussex Senior Cup for a team that had quite a few players that were sort of on the brink of first team, if not first team.
I think there was somebody said there was over 100 league appearances in that team.
I think it's five players playing on that evening who played on the previous Saturday.
We've also suffered from some quite frustrating games. Dartford, where we came back in it for a 3-1 deficit and ended up losing 4-3 at the death. We tight against Yeovil when they won in the last couple of minutes of injury time. So we could summarise the last couple of months, chaps. Roller coaster, I would say.
It has been, and then, you know, you say Yeovil, and everybody keeps saying Yeovil are the best team in the league. Mm. And actually, when they were here, when we played them, they were a good team, don't get me wrong. But were we a lesser team than them? We lost because of the red card, that game. Was it Felix got sent off that game? And then there was a lucky goal in the end.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it has been a roller coaster.
It has been.
But as I say, you know, it's quite a tight table, which, you know, shows teams are beating each other. There's no Ebbsfleet in the league this year, in my opinion. Who's going to?
Do you not think that's the Yeovil?
I wouldn't put Yeovil on the level of Ebbsfleet.
But it's strange results all around. I think we got beaten by Hampton 4-0. We got
4-1.
A 4-1. We got beaten.
Don't forget the goal.
we got beaten by Maidstone away, and Hampton beat Maidstone 5-2 at home. It shows you anybody can beat anybody.
Maidstone was a poor game. We just didn't turn up for that game, and I'm not sure why. Because with Hampton, we had a very good first half, and I thought we might. I could not predict that was going to be the full time score on that game. But we just capitulated in the second half, didn't we? It just kind of completely fell apart.
Yeah, something. I don't know. There's one or two players who lost their heads a little bit, weren't there? I don't know. If the concentration went. I don't know what happened the second half of that game. To be fair, we got found out at the back again and again. As a supporter, that's quite hard to put your finger on the specifics of.
But then again, in that the previous season, the two games against Hampton, I think it was a 3-3 at home and a 0-0 away. So, you know, we haven't beaten them before.
No, it's we beat them at home, but it was 3-3 away or something.
It was 4-3 because Liam Fintan scored three goals.
Yeah, 4-3 at home,
and then we signed them.
Yeah, at least it's a little bit closer this year with Eastbourne ish over the festive fixture. But then, you know, we can look back and we can think about, you know, we went into the FA Cup game thinking, is this going to be a long old journey? Because, you know, we went down to Bath after that, Hampton, and bounced back 2-0 in horrible, horrible conditions. Probably some of the worst watching conditions I've experienced for a while. And fair play to the, I'd say, 20 or so Rebels that stood on the terrace and got absolutely drenched. And, well, we were the sensible ones and stood under the stand, weren't we, Spence?
Sensible up to a point, I guess.
What was the chant we were doing? We are the dry side, we are the dry side, we are the dry side at Bath, and they were the wet side, blah, blah, blah. That was a good comeback. And then we went into Alfreton thinking, you know, good bounce back from Bath, obviously beating them in the qualifying round of the Cup, and then beating them away in those conditions. We thought, trip to Alfreton, same sort of level in National League from other friends that I've spoken to that got clubs in National League South Shields. They said they didn't think they were too much. brilliant reception we had from them. Great old sing song in the pub. Great thank you to all the Rebels that supported the Sports Association by purchasing tickets to the coach. Just an amazing. I know you went up with Jack, your son Jack, over at Spencer and I were on the coach. We had a great time. Good memories on there. Some real memorable things, some forgettable things. But it was a good day out, and unfortunately another fixture where I think maybe the team didn't quite turn up.
I want to say first, I said I didn't want a cup run in the first podcast, but I did enjoy the day out. And if we had to do it again, yeah, I would do it. And I think the whole day, Elverton made us feel very welcome.
Mm-hmm.
I quite liked the ground, very old fashioned, but it had its charm. The game, I think Elverton played one game. I think they've got their plan A, B, and C are all the same. Goal kick, the goalie takes it, goes to the number nine, who heads the ball. He won every single header, and it's a long ball, and that's all they played. And they got a rub of the green that day.
There was lots of talk beforehand with the weather and the pitch, and would it be on and not on. And I don't think the pitch really came into it, because I don't think the ball saw the pitch much. No. But that's obviously their style of play. Perhaps that's more the style of play, the National North. Like you said, you'd spoken to friends about, you know, that level. I think at the moment, Alfred and a third. So, you know, they're no mugs.
What they're doing, they're doing well. And it shows in the results.
But it's a cup game. It's what happens on the day, isn't it? It just wasn't our day. But what a fantastic day. You know, with a coach up and we're all meeting up in the services, proper away day. We're meeting up in the services. We took over the local pub, thanks to the doghouse Alfred, and I'll give him a shout out.
But they thought the game was off. For some reason.
Well, they had one bar person. She was frantically calling around to get someone else in. But you talk about the sort of service stations on the journey home. We stopped off at Toddington, getting your KFC. You know, you like a service station KFC, don't you, Spencer?
Yeah.
Freshest one, as you say. But it's not your favourite services, is it? We'll do it. No, actually, we've got to talk about Spencer. Spencer services. Anyway, coming soon, new feature. I saw Nicky Wheeler and Kane Wills. They were obviously going back, except from the coach. And I said to them, I said, you know what? Yeah, it's disappointing. But would you swap this today for walking down Wembley Way in the FA Trophy final in Worthing colours? And I think I would.
If we could get that far.
It's not that. I think it's four wins and we're at Wembley in the trophy now. I think it might be.
Starting
at Froome this weekend if it's on. It's an amber weather warning apparently at the moment.
Nah, it'll be fine.
Is it 3G?
No.
God, cross.
Fingers crossed. Anyway, and just before we move on, we'll speak to Adam Hinchwood, and we've got Nicky Wheeler lined up to speak to in this podcast today. We have to touch on it. There has been a lot of comments online, you know, about, do you think it's unfair that there's some of the criticism that some of the players are coming in for at the moment, or is it I mean, I always believe, as a paying fan, you know, someone that goes to watch games, you're allowed to criticise to a certain level, but some of it becomes pure abuse. Where do your lines stand with that?
But the abuse, I would never abuse the player. I would call them out, and I'll be open and honest. I'm on the forum, and people know my views, and I've told you, James. One signing, and be honest, it was Rocco Reese. I wasn't convinced about him when we signed him. And, you know, I'm still not 100% convinced. Yes, he's a better goalie than me. But he plays for Worthing. I will support him, but I think...
You've got, exactly. You're a word supporter. You support the team thick and thin. Like we've already said, you know, we've had some really, really good times. There's always going to be bad times come along, but you still support the team the same. As far as criticism, you know, these guys will, you know me. I'm not biggest fan of social media and the like. And, you know, it's very easy to hide behind a keyboard, hide behind a name on a, you know, you'd say things on there you'd never say to somebody's face.
I disagree with that. On Facebook, I use my own name. I don't hide. And what I said online, I would say to the player's face as well.
Yeah, but I think what Spencer's going at, is that you might do that, and I know you will do that, but a lot of people don't do that. And there are a lot of keyboards, doesn't matter if it's Worthy, doesn't matter if it's Charlton, Southampton, West Ham, there's a lot of people that are very quick to get, because it's that sort of way of doing it now. You used to, those gone are the days you'd sit down the pub, but we often do, we sit down the pub after the game, chew the fat over the game. But as we said, over the past few years, there hasn't really been much
wasn't there a recent incident in our league with one club with the fans, and they gave the goalie so much abuse during the game?
Farnborough and
Weymouth?
Weymouth, yeah.
And, you know, that's, you know, I'm all for a laugh and a joke, but the things they allegedly said, oh, that's taking it too far.
But at the end of the day as well, they're part-time players, and most of them, they're young lads. They're really, really young lads.
Right, this is this is a question, Spencer. Like, okay, you've commented, Rocco, you know, and there's no point in hiding behind it. That's a player that has come into a lot of criticism over recent weeks, especially on the internet and in the ground as well. Do you think a more experienced, like you look at a lot of other teams in the league and they've got an experienced goalkeeper that's been around, knows this level well. Do you think that's maybe what we're lacking? Okay, we had Harrison last year, it was brilliant, but he's going to go on to bigger and better things in his career. Do you think we need to have a more experienced goalkeeper, someone that, obviously Aaron's not there, the big presence of Aaron to lead that defence. Are we missing an experienced player either between the sticks that can control, that's had experience at this level?
Rocco, I think he's got a good pedigree. He was at Brighton, he went to Brentford. You know, he's not a bad goalie.
No,
obviously, there must be something, and there must.
I mean, we look at him at Eastbourne. Like, that was unbelievable that went viral.
So, you know, shot saving, I think, fantastic. And I think Adams brought him in because the Worthing way and Adams' style of play is playing out from the back. So you need a goalie who's really competent with his feet. And it's just, at the moment, I don't think that's Rocco, and that's where he's getting into trouble.
But also, you know, if we go back, you know, we had 3 away games, you lose 4-0 each game. But has it done something with his confidence? You know?
Well, it's like what I think, like, you know, on Tuesday night, just gone, obviously we got it back. A couple of his debatable, some people saying all 4 goals were his mistake. At least 2 of them were goalkeeper error. But, you know, the players getting back into 3-1. His confidence must have been shot. Anyone's confidence is going to be shot playing like that. Should the tactic have changed where he's not playing out from the back? Because he's maybe suffering. Is his confidence at a low level?
Don't know. I don't know.
We know the Worthing way of playing is playing out from the back. There's no point beating around the bush. But a backup tactic when things aren't going right.
Sometimes you just need to put your foot through it.
Yeah. Well, it's true. No, it's true. There needs to be that sort of backup tactic. Just put your foot through it. Obviously, the 4th goal was a miss kick by Rocco. Went straight to him, chipped it, and then Joe Rye maybe should have done better.
Chance to put his foot through it, didn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, we take away from Joe Rye. I mean, one player that I have noticed over the last few weeks, in my opinion, has started to slightly get better. Maybe he's warming up to squad, is Greg Lehr, who's another player that's come in for maybe a bit of, sort of, you know, online. But I thought on Tuesday night he'd massively improved.
I thought Tuesday night was the best game he played for us so far. But as a forward, he's going to get judged by one thing, and that's goals. Yeah. And that is something he's lacking. And even he lacked it the last couple of seasons at Eastbourne. And he had both games, he had the last 2 home games, he had a chance. And both times, he fluffed it a bit.
What I will say, in his defence,
he works hard.
He works hard. And he's had a few injuries already. Mm. And perhaps he just needs a run and gain some game time.
I was pleased to see, because, you know, we're all Worthing, we're all behind the players. Yeah, as fans, we do show frustration. Sometimes the players get it because, you know, they're the people we support week in, week out. And when fans don't think they're performing, that's, unfortunately, they take it out on either the management, the squad. That's just football for you. But it's, as I said, it's one of those things that we haven't really seen at Worthing since we've all been around and involved. And I'm sure it will happen again in the future. But hopefully, Tuesday's loss against Dartford was a kick up the backside. And they can sort out these problems. We can, you know, climb a league. A great winning the trophy would really be a morale boost. Threw them a couple of decisions below, but they're playing very well at the moment.
We're getting there, 2nd or 3rd.
Yeah, should be a good game. But let's talk to the manager, Adam Hinchelwood, who joins us as usual, and he can give us his thoughts on the last couple of months.
This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
Adam, welcome back to Rebel Yell Podcast for the 4th time this season. We've been saying, as a chat, it's been the last couple of months, I would say it's fair to say it's been a rollercoaster of emotions, results, everything. From your point of view, would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%, yeah. You know, it's definitely not been dull. At times...
Anything but.
Yeah,
I think... the statement.
I think, yeah, you wish it had been at times, and can you, you know, get those 1-0 wins and 2-0 wins, but, you know, really please, like, come away from tonight's session. And, you know, what we have got here is really good, good, hard-working people. They train so hard. They leave everything out on that training pitch. And ultimately, no one hurts more than them after a defeat. They don't come away from it and just let it just pass them by. They think about it. They want to improve. They want to do well for themselves and the club. And I think all the time you've got that and you've got good people in the building, it probably hurts even more when you do get some bad results. And there has been some bad results. But ultimately, like, we've got to learn. We've got to learn quickly because there's been some good performances. Hampton, Richmond, I thought 0-0 at half-time, we should have been leading the game. And then 4-1 out of nowhere. 20 minutes on Tuesday, we're 1-0 up, and then 3-1 down out of nowhere. So there's been a few times now where our performance hasn't reflected the scoreline. And, it's frustrating to see as a manager. And I think even more so because you know how much it means to these lads.
But in all honesty, we have been spoiled over the last 3-4 seasons, haven't we? We haven't really had a period like this where everything
but there's been within that, right? I can remember losing 6-0 at home to Hornchurch. There's been times in the last few years, even last season, I think start of the season there was too many draws. I think we went 10 games undefeated. But it was draw after draw after draw. It was a similar sort of pattern where we would dominate games and then draw games rather than get all 3 points. So it hasn't always been. And just how we are as a club, you know, we still try to do things sustainably. Like, I know there's so many rumours out there that we're being blessed with money. And you look at the players that we've recruited, and these players might not ever come available to us again. The likes of Glenn Ray, the likes of Danny Cashman, Greg Lure, Nicky Wheeler, all local lads becoming available and coming into the side. And, you know, sometimes that does take a while to gel and click. And I'm not making any excuses, but it has I think January last year, I won Manager of the Month. And I think from then, that kick-started our season. So I think it's taken a similar pattern to the last few years where it does take us a while to settle in and click. And I think a little bit that's down to the amount of change that we make season on season. Last summer, we had to replace our goalkeeper, who was doing brilliant for us. You know, the summer before that, it was Jesper Patton and Marvin Armstrong. And so there's continuous, like, rebuilding going on, and we bring in young players that maybe aren't in their peak of their careers. And with that, I think you get some inconsistency. And no one gets more frustrated than me at that. But it's just the where we are as a club, how we do our recruitment, you know, and like I say, no one gets more frustrated, but I like to think that they grow into the level, they learn from their mistakes, they get better, and this is why it's taken a similar sort of pattern than previous years, I think.
But there's plenty of courage to be taken. So, you know, you're saying about the atmosphere tonight of training. So, you know, the actual performance on Tuesday against Dartford, I mean, we've already touched on this. It's a great performance.
Yeah.
It's just, it didn't go our way. I share
you guys, your frustrations, honestly, I do. Because, like, the expectation and everything at the club for the last few years, everyone's become accustomed to winning games of football. We do it in a certain way. And it doesn't always go our way. But like I say, this is how we learn and we regroup and we get better. And I think all the time that you've got lads showing what they've shown us there tonight, There's a togetherness, there's a hunger, and you know they're going to do all they can to turn results around. And I know they're capable of putting a run of games together where they do win a lot of games on the bounce. Yeah. And you know, with how they've been performing, I'm hoping it's not too far away.
Well, obviously, no point, sort of, we might as well talk about the elephant in the room. With Rocco's performance has been criticised online. I'm sure he's hurting. He's still out there now training. It's great to see, you know, you see him having shots in goal. How do you pick up? There's no point talking about what happened. We know what happened. There's no point going back on that. There's been a couple other times this season where maybe from a fan's point of view, we felt he maybe should have done a bit better, but I ain't a goalkeeper. Other fans aren't goalkeepers. You know what you're seeing. How do you pick a guy up like that? Because he was hurting. You know, there were fans, you know, rightly or wrongly, very frustrated with him on Tuesday night, thinking he's given the game away. But for a young keeper like that, that, you know, come from Brentford, he's been released, you know, he's sort of put in his career, he's come back to a place where he was on loan, obviously from Brighton years ago. What, as a manager, what do you do and how do you get
him? He's asked to perform and play out from the back like that, mm-hmm. because that's how I want to play. So mm-hmm. he's encouraged to do that by me. So, mm-hmm. you know, all of the flat that he's getting should yeah. be pointing in my direction. Yeah. And it's as simple as that. I think the mistakes that he's made mm-hmm. are quite easy fixes. I mm-hmm. think the centre-backs have got to come in a little bit closer to him and be a bit more of an option. Mm-hmm. We'd like to bounce into midfield and then go to centre-backs. We're getting pressed from the centre midfield, so it's a very easy fix to go centre-backs then into midfield. But how we play, the bravery that these players show, the courage to play this way. No other team, you ain't watching another team at this level, the level above, the level below, yeah. play that way yeah. consistently. And, like, rightly or wrongly, it's what I believe in and they believe in. And the bravery and the courage that they go out and show in front of their own goal to do it, I think it's led to more goals for than goals against. Yeah. But there is going to be mistakes. They're not the finished article. They are young players learning their trade. It's Rocco's first ever season at this level. So, you know, maybe we are asking a bit much of him, but we know what we can do. And listen, no one hurts more than these guys after they make a mistake. They don't go home and, you know, they're all smiles and partying. They take it home with them.
You mean not like, you know, Marcus Rashford?
Yeah, well, exactly. Like, you know, they do care about their careers, they care about their performances, and I honestly think they care about the club as well.
So would you say, with Aaron being out and that bit of experience going from the back's been quite a big factor in that?
Yeah, definitely. Like, listen, let's not get away from it. Aaron's our club captain. He's been an unreal player for us for the 100%. Last three seasons.
Brilliant.
You're going to miss Aaron Rashane. But I think when you concede a few goals, it's very easy just to hide behind, you're missing Aaron Rashane, you're missing Glenn Rae. And what a difference they would make. We were saying the same last year when we was missing chances. Oh, Jake Robinson. If only we had Jake Robinson out there scoring them. Okay? So, I think we can't control that, unfortunately. What's happened to Aaron is an absolute sickener, more so for the lad himself, you know, than anything else. You know, I loved watching Aaron play, leaving everything out there on the pitch. He's had a rough time, and to see him out there doing what he loves doing has been unbelievable for the last few years. And it's really sad that, you know, he's got a really settled life off the pitch, two kids, you know, engagement. I hope he's engaged. So, like, is it? Right, okay. Good. So,
but he's
pretty much a bit of pressure there. Like, I'm like, yeah, Christmas or Valentine's this year. So, you know, just disappointed that the two of them can't match up. But you know, Aaron will still have a role to play at this football club. We want him to stay involved. And
I was going
to
say, do you think will we see Aaron in a Worthing shirt again, or if not, hopefully
it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for him. I think the amount of injuries that he's had to that one knee, I think it's going to be a bit more complex than just go in and fix it. It's going to be a bit more complex than that, unfortunately.
So you're confident if he doesn't return as a player, he'll be in some sort of coaching aspect around the club?
Yeah, we want to keep him around the club, whether it's a scouting role, whether it's involved in the youth. You know, he knows the type of player that I like, so maybe he can go out and look at young, hungry players that we want in the area. Mm. I think we missed a trick on that. I think Averley's recruitment, they have about 4 or 5 scouts, and you know, it's me going on a Monday night to go and watch a session, or whenever we're not playing, to try and watch a game, to try and scout players. So it's something as a club we've got to get a bit better at, and I think having Aaron around to lots of elements of the club, like work with the youngsters, help them become, like, we want National League players to come through our youth system now. So physically, they're going to have to be a lot stronger, and we're going to have to look at that from an early age as well.
And Glenn Ray, are we going to see him in a Worthing shirt again, do you hope?
Yeah, very soon, I'm hopeful. Obviously, a ridiculous accident, helping his mate.
Typical win time of the FA Cup.
Yeah, there's just been, I know every manager will say the same, but one or two things that happen, like
Jake
last year, Aaron, Glenn, Alex Parsons, start of the season. Yeah, like some real, they're really good characters, and you don't know how much you miss, you know, with Buddy going as well, like that character in the dressing room. And what I'm pleased to see with missing those players, but yeah, getting back to your point, Glenn, yeah, we're hoping to be back, 4 weeks or so. But I think what we do miss with those is like that character in the dressing room. But what it has happened, I think Joel Colbrand, Ollie Pierce have really taken upon that role and started to lead the group a little bit more. And that's really, really good to see.
Funny you mentioned Ollie. I think he has calmed down on the pitch a bit. He's not as hot-headed as
he used to be. No, this is what I'm saying. I think he's a bit more calmer, and he leads from the front. There was one game, who did we play? We went down to 10 men. It was up London somewhere a couple of years ago now. I think it was like a trophy. Can't remember the name of the team. I think it begins with a C. But anyway, we went down to 10 men. I think Tyrese McKenzie might have got sent off.
Oh, it was the, Chertsey.
Chertsey, begins with a C, there we go.
Yeah.
Chertsey. And he really become a leader that day.
Yeah.
Like, in a good way. And I think, like, when he is calmer and he's not getting involved with the refs and he's actually leading from the front, his work ethic goes up and you see a better player.
That's it, isn't it? When these things happen, it just opens up, creates opportunities for others, doesn't it?
That's it.
Step in.
I'm always one for, you know, I'd like to look forward, like to be positive, and like to control what we can control. We can't control Aaron Racine getting injured. We can't control Glenn Ray dropping a wardrobe. I suppose we can control that if you don't do it in the first place.
Call him the wardrobe now.
Drop it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
the wardrobe now. Do you remember Papa Boo with Diop? Let's call him the wardrobe now.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like to control the controllables. We can't control that. And other players have an opportunity. And unfortunately, right, they're big players. They take a bit of money out of the budget. And we're not in a position where we can just go and replace them like for like. And with that, you have to give younger players an opportunity. Well, and with younger players playing, like we've seen in previous years, with some heavy defeats that we've had, there is that inconsistency there.
Yeah. Moving on to some memories of the past couple of months. What was it? Since I've known you and you're on a personal level, on a podcast level, you've always said you want a cup run. You achieved that for the first time in 23 years, first time in your career as a manager, to take us to the first round, the FA Cup away at Alfreton. Now, it wasn't a result anyone wanted. You know, you look at it and you think, what if? And we would have had Walsall at home, you know, on the TV probably and stuff like that, which must hurt a bit as a manager. But looking at that day, you must take away the support that followed, the memories, you know, the coaches going up the night before, and, you know, how it could be as a club. Because I know you want to personally do a little bit more of that, have been able to travel the night before to prevent the long day. So what was that like in just that whole process that weekend for yourself?
No, it was, it took me back to sort of like when you're a pro and you travel up on a Friday the night before the game, and the professionalism, the sort of the whole club show, really, in terms of the amount of fans we took, the whole setup, the dealing with a tire blowout, it was ridiculous.
That wasn't even the green machine.
No, and then picking up the fans on the way back, the green machine. But yeah, listen, nothing. I'm still bitterly disappointed that after that game, clapping that amount of fans and feeling we haven't given them nothing to cheer at and they're still here applauding us. And I thought that showed just how loyal the fans are to give up their time and their money to come and support us in the pouring down rain. And we didn't have a shot on target. We didn't do nothing to warrant you guys' applause. And you were still there after. And I think, you know, that does hurt. And I'll take that with me. And that's going to strive me on for years to come to try and do that again.
I think you're being a bit harsh on yourself there, because we discussed that. We had a great day out. It was a fantastic experience. And I said at the beginning of the season, a cup run, I'm not that bothered. I might have changed my mind a little bit now. But, you know, I think Elverton were a great host to us. But the team did us proud. You know, we had a great day out, so don't beat yourself up.
No, yeah, but, like, I think we didn't perform at the level that I know we can in terms of... I think it was a tight game. The first goal is always going to be massive, and the lads hit an absolute worldie.
Yeah.
But I don't think either team probably done enough to warrant winning the game. Maybe they did a little bit when they got into the final third. They'd done a little bit more in terms of working the goalie. But yeah, just disappointed that we couldn't at least give the you guys that moment to go 1-0 up and just give you that moment to...
You'd got us to the first round proper. That was the moment.
Yeah, but...
But I said we bumped into Nicky Wheeler and Kane Wills in the services on the way back, so they made their own way. And they came over and said, "We're really sorry." I was like, no, not at all. We had a wicked day out. But I said to them, and I still go by this, would you take getting to round one of cup and us early going out over possibly guiding us to Wembley and seeing all those fans walk down Wembley Way in Worthing colours, you looking out at the stadium on non-league finals day? Because I'm sure as a manager, that's obviously more achievable for us. I know the money and stuff side of it for the FA Cup, you're not going to get any of the trophy. But for a pride of a manager, you've done it with the Sussex Cup, which is even more possible now that Stenning have knocked out Brighton in this week. You know, we good chance of retaining it this year. Would you take that now, though? If we start off with Froome this weekend.
Yeah, there's still like loads that I want to achieve at this club. I want to take the club to the furthest it's ever been in the FA Trophy. I want to take the club to the furthest it's ever been in the FA Cup. We've all worked hard. The club's gone to the furthest it's ever gone in the league. Want to retain, go back to back in the Sussex Senior Cup. There's all these targets that I personally put on myself and I want to achieve. I'm going to continuously, and it's going to be like strive and push on so that we don't have days like Tuesday night. We don't have days like Alfreton away. And like, I'm learning all the time as well, and the players are learning, but that is the goal. I want to, these things, I want to, you know, tick them all off, be the most successful, and why not? It's got to be the goal.
I mean, obviously, we haven't even said congratulations on the new 3-year contract, because we knew. I mean, I would have been so surprised if it wasn't coming. But I know we talked at the beginning of the season. Barry said, obviously, the offer's always going to be there for you, but take your time deciding. Are those the reasons why you're like, I'm signing this contract? You know, I know you've said to us before, you want to be the first manager, take the club to full-time model, which is the 5-year plan at the moment. I guess it was an easy decision for you to sign that contract in the end.
No, yeah, definitely. There's a bit in the summer that I felt the club weren't quite on the same page, and they've sort of showed to me in the last couple of months that they are ambitious. They do want to go to that full-time model. They do want to take the club on, and, you know, I think...
We've been on sports association. We know sometimes a club can beat, and that it worries me. So I wasn't some, but you know, you're here now.
Like good chats with everybody. Obviously, a bit more investment gone into the club, which you know, Ralph's come in and invested a little bit and helped out the club and that sort of side. I think which has been massive and really important. Hopefully you guys are now going to benefit a bit more with the infrastructure on a match day in terms of fan zone, but I'm sure that's all for the club to talk about. But it's all stuff that's exciting. And like I said to you, like there's some goals that I set myself in terms of that are very easy. So how far has the club's ever got before in the FA Cup? Right, I want to go further. How far has the club got in the FA Trophy? Right, I want to go further. Where's the highest the club's ever finished in the league? Right, I want to take it further. But also want to be part of something like help building a better youth structure, and I don't want to be somewhere where it just stagnates, and you know, I want to try and improve everything. Like, I want more and more young players come through our youth setup and get into our first team. So like constantly me, Stu, Nath have meetings about that, and we're excited about some of the players we've got in our youth setup. But to take them now from grassroots to National League is one hell of a jump. Yeah. One hell of a jump. So there's going to be less and less that we can do it, but why not? I want to try and build an unbelievable youth setup that...
I mean, I could see a bronze statue of Adam in centre in the future. Yeah, it sounds
but
like...
That's no, just,
but it's great to hear from
just
us.
Just like how, you know, sort of...
No, it's wicked.
How my mind works. Yeah. I don't like... want to stagnate myself. I want to improve myself, and I feel like... You know, I feel the club's in a position where we can keep taking it forward, and I just want to be part of that.
Would it help in the future if we have like a B team? Just, you know, I know, I take Dorking, they got Dorking, and then they got what they call the B team. Would it be something we need to look at?
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe?
So we've obviously got about four lads out at Littlehampton. We've got a couple at Chichester now. So we're not far away from... Like, my dream was for Darren Budd to... play and run a B team and play alongside these youngsters and teach them the Worthing way. And also when Worthing away, they still got a Worthing team as such to support if they can't make it. Obviously listen to Pete on Rebel Yell and the first team are they getting on, but they still could come down and support a team as such. That's, I think
bloody
there's...
Foxy, eh?
but there's lots of like... keep an arrow at the club, is that something that you could do in the future? But there's loads of hoops you've got to go through for that to happen.
It's not easy.
You can't just go, right, we're going to set up a Worthing B team and play them in the Sussex County Premier Division. If you could just do that, it'd be a perfect fit. But you've got to start at a certain level. There's loads of criteria you've got to find, and it's extra finance to run that team and everything. So, but... It's the chats that we do have, like ways that we can improve and take things on. And like I say, that's what I want to be part of.
Well, Hinch, I know you've got to get across to collect your daughters from Littlehampton. Yeah. They're going to class right now.
Can't forget them again.
He forgot them. Yeah, that's what he's saying again like that.
Last week. Oh, God.
Brilliant.
Let me forget
brilliant
it.
Chat as per usual. So thank you. Good luck. Hopefully for a run. And, you know, no matter what, you know, you hear from the terraces, we're all always behind. It's because we care and we're passionate. That's what it is, you know. And, you know, I'm sure the team will bounce back. And let's go on a run in the trophy.
No, listen, your support's been unbelievable this season. Like, I say, always say on my programme notes, home and away, you're always there in your numbers. And you've got a right to voice your opinion. I've never got a problem with that. And all I want you to know is no one gets more frustrated than myself and the players when we don't perform at the level that we know we can.
We know that anyway.
We know that. Adam, thank you. If we don't see you before Christmas, have a good Christmas.
Take care, Andrew, guys. Yeah. Cheers.
This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Nicky Weeder's Magic is one of the songs that's often sung on the terrace. And to be honest, since...
Who was singing that? The Stalker?
Sorry, because I bumped into him in Waitrose. I mean,
the Waitrose is 20 miles from your house.
You don't even live in Hove.
But as you mugs were saying, if you know Hove very well, I can give you the receipt for my wife's hair appointment with her hairdresser in Hove. If you know Hove, where can you park for free?
Tesco.
You have to buy something. And it's got a rubbish cafe. I went to go get a coffee. So I went up to Waitrose Cafe.
What a snob. Oh, I went to drink Tesco's coffee, but Waitrose.
I don't even know. It's a Costa in there, though, isn't it? It's not even Tesco's coffee. It's Costa. It's not the best. Waitrose, darling. But anyway, yes. And we were messaging about Nikki Wheeler. And literally, as I was leaving, Nikki Wheeler's just standing at the entrance. Okay. Anyway, Jacko, he's been one of your favourite players since the summer joining. And I think he's been pretty good. And he's some really good crosses into the box. I think the players are starting to warm up to his crossing and know what he's about now.
I think he's a brilliant player. I think, you know, he was one of my favourite signings this summer. Obviously, I've been following him for a few years. He's just a great player. And I think he shows his versatility as well. When one night he come in a home game and he plays in defence. So, well,
yeah, Spencer?
Yeah, you know, we all love an exciting player here, don't we? Someone who take players on, whip the ball in, create excitement, create opportunities, and that's Nicky.
Well, Jacko wanted him on the podcast. Jacko got him on the podcast. Jacko and I sat down with Nikki earlier on.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Nikki Wheeler, welcome to the Rebel Yell podcast. Thank you for finally coming on. Jacko, you really, really wanted this gentleman on, didn't you, from as soon as we signed him?
Oh, yeah. I've been, like I said to you before, I've been following you for years. I think you're a wonderful player, you know. Great to watch, you know, and I think your efficiency is very high when you get the ball. And when we announced We signed you, I was over the moon.
Oh, thanks, yeah.
I was really happy.
We agreed. We've watched a bunch of amateurs, which I'm sure you're quite glad to have a relief from no cameras in the changing room and stuff. What was that like, being, like, you know, constantly filmed? I mean, I know it wasn't every single week, but what was it like? Did you just get used to it? It was kind of just in sort of the back of the room.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy. It's a good bunch setup. He's a good guy.
Yeah. The guy who does it, Rich, he's a quality guy. I think certain things that do happen, he actually, if he knows they're a little bit controversial, he'll ask your opinion before he posts it. So he's good to the players, to be fair. Mm. Otherwise, Mark would just put anything out.
Well,
there.
We've seen what Mark's like on the internet recently. I think he's been having a tough one over there this season. So you joined. Were you your first summer signing? I can't remember. Was it the first one? I think
it was the second. It was
the second. Yeah. How did that come about? When did that come about? Sort of thing.
To be honest, it's one of them. I've been keeping in touch with Hinch for a while, and I know Hinch got a few friends at Worthing and stuff. And it was always a case. I knew if I was to leave Dorking, I was only ever going to come local and sort of and go with Hinch, really. Yeah. So, as I said, Dorking went mornings, and it just didn't suit me and my. What I was doing work at the time, so it just didn't suit me, and straight away messaged Hinch, and it happened. Yeah. But
and I guess you had, with Kano joining last season, you had sort of an idea of what the club was like anyway from the players' point of view.
So I had an idea of the club, and obviously I think we did play against Worthing once, and I know how they play, which was one of the main reasons for coming as well. Good football, and it's it worked out well.
Wasn't that when he nicked Callum Keeley for or something like that from us when he was on loan?
We got Keeley, and they got Radari.
Yeah, Radari. Yeah, that's when he played in the trophy. I think it was. But so you joined in the summer. How have you found it so far? It's been a bit. We talk about it on this podcast there, but it's been a mixed season so far. Some good results, some bad results. It must have been up and down of emotions for the players and the squad. How have you fitted in, and how have you found it so far?
To be honest, I've really enjoyed it. I think the way what Hinch is doing with this, like, you know, basic, real young team, you know, when you look at it, it's a very young side, and what he's got out of the players and how the players play for him, I've been really impressed and really enjoyed my time so far. There has been a little bit ups and downs in results. I think losing Aaron's a big loss. I think he's really noticed that. But, you know, the players we've got here, as I say, real young team, and I think the football we play, it's really enjoyable, and even at my age, I feel like I'm learning from Hinch. Definitely, I feel like there's definitely stuff he's adding to my game. In all honesty, he's a coach I wish I played under when I was young. It's really good.
But isn't the Dorking way and the Worthing way football quite similar? Because I know Mark always goes, go forward. Really, that's what Hinch wants, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, to be honest. I mean, it's a case where they obviously both try to play football in terms of possession football, but the actual styles of play are totally different. It really is. I mean, sort of Dorking don't like many backwards passes to the goalie. Hinch kind of, the way we play, the goalie
become sort of a defender and plays out as well, which is, you know, when it does come off and we do play well, it's so enjoyable to play. And like you've seen, when we do dominate teams and it all goes to plan, it must be enjoyable to watch as well, I hope. So
It is. It's enjoyable. It's always enjoyable football.
Yeah.
Very frustrating at times, football, but it's always enjoyable football because, you know, we can see the passion in the players, and I think that's what's good. You know, there's been a lot of changes over the last couple of years, which is, you know, what happens when you progress.
Yeah.
I think Hinch pretty much has got most of them right, the signings with the squad, and, you know, they've slotted in really well. And, you know, for yourself as well, we've seen it, you know, just some of the balls you make and those crosses in the box. So I think we've missed that since sort of Jasper left, I would say, you know, Jasper Patton, who's the player who's gone to bigger and better things. But I think that's what we've lacked maybe last season as well.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think, you know, it's like I said, you're mystical consistent. When you get a ball, either it's a cross or we get a corner out of it.
Yeah.
There's no results from the corners, unfortunately, but that's a different discussion we had with Hinch. But yeah.
Yeah. No, definitely. I think it's one of them, you know, there's probably a lot more times I could be more greedy and try to get goals myself, because it's probably one of my negative things where I don't pull the trigger enough, really. Yeah. But that, you know, that's me as a player. But
isn't that the whole team?
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
At times, you know, I think on Tuesday night, at least there were shots of goal. Yeah, some of them weren't even near the goal, but at least we tried. And if you don't try, you don't get it.
Yeah, but hopefully other players will get used to how I play.
Yeah,
and that's the thing, because every club I've been at, you know, most strikers I play with, they always just know as soon as I get it where I'm going to try and put it.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully we'll start getting a bit more wavelength and get a few more assists.
Well, I noticed, looking to do a bit of research, you started your career at Charlton and the Youth Academy there.
Yeah.
That's Monomichael, that's my other team. So, but yeah, I wasn't at it. But then I saw you've been sort of had a journey through non-league after obviously released by Charlton. What, that must have been quite hard to take, because I noticed you had a little bit of a career break after that. Did you kind of get fed up with football and sort of?
Yeah, I spent a long time at Charlton. I think it was ending the 8 years, seven, 8 years. And this, travelling up, me and my family obviously travelling from here at the time. It was, you know, a big club, they were a Premier League team, and it was kind of, when you get released at that age, there was no such thing as sort of 21s and 23 football. It was just resis and first team. And it kind of, I think when I left there, kind of my family wasn't really a footballing family in terms of knowing people, and sort of I'd never had any help with trying to find another club. It kind of just come to sort of, okay, I've got nothing. And it, I think it was just a point I didn't really want to sign at anyone lower, you know, and just I was just thinking, what's happened here? I've gone from this to that, and I just literally fell out of love with football. I didn't want to play anymore. And I don't think I touched the ball till I was about 21.
It's interesting you say that, because I think, you know, as you say, nowadays you've got the under-23s and, you know, you've got things like non-league now, which has come on leaps and bounds, as you've probably seen throughout your career.
Yeah.
But I guess you give, as you say, 8-9 years of your life to Charlton, the Premier League club at the time, you know, around that area of, like, great management and great run club at the time, not so much anymore. But you've not got the options you have now. So I'm not surprised. I've never really thought about that, have you, Jacko? Like, it can really sort of ruin a career.
Yeah,
almost.
And it's like the amount of agents you have now, you know, the amount of agents that would try and look after young players and try and get them into other clubs. So I don't think I ever...
But it's quite similar to what Nicky said, what Jasper said when he got released from Brighton, wasn't it?
Mm.
You know, you get that, he's released on Jasper 15, I think, and it was a black hole, he said. He didn't know what to do anymore.
Yeah.
And it's years after you got released, but, you know, it's just... Football, and suddenly there's nothing.
Yeah, no, that was it. And then, I went to Lewis for a bit, like playing youth.
Mm.
And then it was just, just before I had my break, and that's when I decided to not play. And then, I didn't start playing football till I was 21.
What made you pick it up again?
I just had an urge where I just thought, I want to have a go.
Was it one weekend you were watching TV and sort of I really miss it?
Literally like that. It was, because I never even went down the park and played. I never touched the ball. Just went to, I went work with my brother in London. It was just, never.
Still had that magic touch.
And I went to Burgess Hill after that. And it was,
So you've enjoyed, you've gone on to do another career, but you've kept football and you're enjoying the mix of it. Is it sometimes quite hard with that, you want to hit a higher level, but with the career you do, you must, like you said at Dorking, they started training mornings, hybrid, so you've got to take a step back.
Yeah, well, obviously I went on league for a bit, and I did go back full time when I went to Dagenham, and then sort of from then it was just a case where it was an okay season, but it wasn't my best of seasons, and I ended up sort of meant to be going on loan. I went up, I don't know if you know, but I went to go on loan to Billericay and then sort of ended up having a conversation to sign permanently, which was
I think I was watching a YouTube video the day about it when they won. You were, I think you were front and centre in one of those pictures, weren't you, with the trophy and stuff.
Probably,
like that,
probably
yeah.
Jake Robinson.
Yeah, and Jake Robinson as well. Yeah. And like, you know, what was that like being under Tamplin? Because it's, you know, plenty of stories and stuff like that. Yeah. Well, it was boys, you need to come do it.
Is that a man who never wants to be interviewed?
He's
always running away. He's too much standing behind the bloody window. So what is that, you know?
Yeah, no, do you know what? It's an interesting time. I was at Dagenham it got to a point where I wasn't really playing as much and I asked to go on loan. And I went there for a training session and met him and sort of walked in, and there was like Jermaine Pennant, O'Hara, Konchesky.
What's going on here?
Yeah, and then obviously I know Jake and I had that conversation with Jake and sort of,
I think it's a mural somewhere. What was it like walking down those corridors?
It's a bit like, you know how they say never paint a bedroom red
because it will give you nightmares? Surely walking down those corridors, all those graffiti art. Have you seen the graffiti art?
It's been painted over now, hasn't it? He was an interesting bloke, but it's fun to him. It was
a good part of great fun memories and stuff like that.
Ups and downs, but it was one of them.
So I'm guessing we're thinking we need to make sure we don't go full time too long because Nicky won't be here any longer. It. We need to leave it a couple of years because we want you keeping and running down the wings.
Yeah.
Like, please lift us into the National League, maybe at the end of your swan song and the trophy and stuff like that.
I hope so.
If we get to the National League and we potentially would go to Mornings, would you consider staying?
Well, it might be a bit easier because we're local. Yeah. That's the difference. But look, it's a conversation I'd have. I haven't signed here to go anywhere else. Hopefully, we'll end my career here.
Not a five years.
Definitely. See when the time comes. But I think we definitely have a chance. I really do.
Future club captain.
Maybe. I was really surprised. There was one game. I think was Aaron was injured and the team sheet came out and everybody was who's playing right back, and it was you and Kane and left and right back and we all went, what is this? And actually it worked really well.
Yeah, no, it was a bit, definitely the first time I've played right back. I've played right wing back a couple of times, but I haven't had the best of games. No. But it's good. I think, hopefully experienced enough that I can fill in here and there.
What I said, because both you and Kane have got so much experience at this level and higher. You know, that's why I think it works.
Yeah, no, it was an all right game, that. So, I think it was the first time that I've ever played with Kane in them positions.
So, just to put the fans' mind at ease, because we'll be out Friday before the Froome trip, you rolled your ankle on Tuesday night against Dartford. How injured are you? Are you going to be back for Froome? It's not bad at all.
As I said, in all honesty, it wasn't. I'd done it in the Havant game. But like I said, I think anyone who plays football, you do roll your ankles a lot, but normally you can run it off. But I just got caught in a tackle early on Tuesday, but for some reason I just couldn't.
We were standing right there, and we thought it was your Achilles heel, the way you were down, and your ankle just rolled.
I'll strap it up, hopefully be alright for Saturday, so take it a bit easy tonight.
Oh, it's been great to talk to you, Nicky. Before we go, we always ask every player, men or women, an interesting fact about yourself. So I don't tell you before, so it puts you right on the spot. So it can be anything. Met someone famous, had an interesting, thing happen. One of the women's players, Emma, she actually lost her kidney,
from playing football, a tackle.
She had to get a kidney removed. So have you got anything to top that? Because I think that's an interesting fact to be with it.
I'd probably say interesting fact is I've done Kate Middleton's hair once. So that was a big fact.
There you go. What's that about? My brother's an actual
hairdresser, so yeah.
That fits in then with what Mark White said one night.
What an expensive player.
Wasn't it about he gave one of the players a haircut?
I didn't actually do that haircut because it was so bad. He'd done it himself in lockdown.
There you go. Kate Middleton's had his hair. I had a haircut by Nicky Wheeler. Nicky, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Appreciate that. Good luck for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
So the women have had a good couple of months, haven't they, boys? You guys go down there quite a lot more than I do. I went down to the FA Cup where I saw very peculiar behaviour from the AFC Wimbledon bench. We will mention about that talking to John.
There was a leak, wasn't there? FA Cup.
They played the league the following week, how have you guys thought the women's have been getting on the last couple of months?
Oh, they've been absolutely fantastic. They've settled into the higher level of football. Like, they've been playing there for years. You know, there's such a unit. New signings that have come in have all performed. Great atmosphere as always. Jacko?
I love going to Sunday with a women's game. I think they play some wonderful football, score goals. You know, it's great to watch, and we need just more people to support them.
It's just the enjoyment. It's just so good. I don't know what more we can do to get people to come along.
No, just come for yourself and judge it. And, you know, if people might not be aware, but if you've got a season ticket, you get free entry. Mm. Kids are free anyway, and I think it's for adults £4.
Yeah. No bar queues.
No?
No bar queues, indeed. That's always Spencer's first at the bar, propping it up on a Sunday morning. But I've had some good wins, beating good teams, big teams, QPR, Portsmouth in a friendly. Unfortunately, out of the League Cup and the FA Cup, but, you know, they can concentrate on the league because, as we said to John at the beginning of the season, his goal is to be up there in and around the top. So, you know, any league distraction, I think, sometimes is good to get out of it.
Yeah, I think it is. I would love to see the women in the cup run to get some more games. But, no, I really hope this Sunday against Norwich is a real test for them.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. That's a big name.
It's a big name, and I think if the women win, they go second.
Yeah.
For the first time in this league, I think it's great.
Yeah, no, it's a big game. You know, you say it's a big name, but it's just a big game because second, third, we can move up. You know, Wimbledon at the moment maybe look like the class act.
The first game against Wimbledon at home.
Class act, not a class act.
No, but, you know, they're at the top, maybe deservedly so.
But I don't think we were worse than Wimbledon. I think we were better. We were just a bit unlucky that game, the game at home. Mm. You know, so we they showed they can play
behaviour
with the top
as well.
Yeah. I could certainly play these teams, certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I definitely think. Well, let's sit down with John. John always loves joining us on the podcast, and we'll see what he thinks about this month.
This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
John, welcome back to the Rebel Yell Podcast, episode 4 of the season. Last couple of months, pretty good couple of months for you. Some big wins.
Yeah, we played well in some games. Obviously, took a hit in a couple of others. But, I think the players are understanding the league really well now, and we've got some players who are accustomed to this level, so it's been good to see.
It's nice to see some results against Queen's Park Rangers.
Yeah.
Big result there. And even friendly versus Portsmouth was a good result for us past weekend.
Yeah.
Obviously, one game was called off. It's a bit of a bone of contention, so I think the less we say about that, the better. But it must have been quite frustrating to have that happening, as we say, in the Women's National League.
It was. And so early on, obviously, we're preparing for the game. And it was quite a surprise that they called it off for the reason of not having any goalkeepers fit. But, you know, we can only let the league decide on that and see what happens.
So, talk about league, that's sort of the main focus now, because we're out the FA Cup, we're out the League Cup.
Yeah.
Beaten by London Bees, which are league above, aren't they?
Yes.
Yep. So, good result, really.
Well, 1-0. We were better than them. And I think that was the frustrating thing, when you come off the game and you think, actually, we were better than them. But, you know, we didn't score and they did, so unfortunately. Mm. But, yeah, if you look back at the game and you think, you know, that's another really competitive game where we played another league above.
It was like when you said it last season when we played MK Dons. And
MK Dons.
And also, did we play AFC Wimbledon as well?
We played Crawley.
Yeah, obviously.
And they were both in the
league
above.
In the league above.
Close
and,
games.
You know, you were close, and it just shows where your players are at right now. So, you know, pleasing performance must be to see what could happen.
Yeah, and the good thing with QPR, they'd beaten the team who beat us the week before. So it was nice to go there and get a comfortable win and score some good goals.
Now, we're out of the FA Cup, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
The game I know I messaged you after, Wimbledon at home.
Yeah.
How do I put it nicely? The behaviour of some of the bench on that game... What was that about? That was that for
their
me,
bench.
Yeah, their bench, not your bench.
Not
yeah,
us,
it was not.
We're
so utmost professional here at Worthing, but I did not understand that one bit. That came across as really unprofessional. And I know you said it was. You said to him, manager, what was that about? And he kind of just shrugged his shoulders. But that behaviour must be quite hard to see from an opposition team. But it meant to be like from a professional football club.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, from my perspective, I think we got a bit of a responsibility for the to lead in the game.
Mm.
And yes, we all get frustrated, and I'm sure I've said a few things. things on the touchline I shouldn't have done, but it seemed to be sort of incessant, and it was almost, it was very defamatory for some of the players on the side, which some of the things they were saying. So, you know, fans and supporters can, they often, you know, the chants and stuff you hear and the different things they say, people might have had a few beers in their bellies, they say it, but you'd like to think that the managers have a little bit of etiquette, I would
but
say.
But it wasn't only the managers, it was the whole bench. Every time a decision, or the referee blew the whistle, or not even, it was just appalling. Yeah. I thought the whole behaviour of the team was just disgusting.
Well, all we can do is try and lead as by much example as we can, and you know they've got to deal with their own stuff.
Should have gone and smashed them up the next week, and that didn't happen though, did it?
Yeah, so, yeah. So how was their behaviour the following week?
It was probably a little bit quieter, but you know it was in their stadium and they had the fans there. But I suppose. Can we move on and talk about it?
I got told off by three of their fans in front of calling their manager a Muppet in the stand. So, you know, there we go. It wasn't just their players and things, it was a thing. Norwich this weekend coming up before this podcast. That was a big name, big game for the club. Probably one of the biggest games, I'd say, you know.
Well, second against third. We can move up to second if we were.
Yeah. So, real competitive game. They beat hashtag who are in the league above the week before, which luckily enough, we've seen that game and basically they sat in. So we can't get much from what their attacking play was because they played, they just had one sort of striker around the halfway line. So they really did a good job. So it shows a bit of resilience. It shows that they got a bit of determination, but we couldn't really see how they played because they sat in, which maybe you'd expect against a higher side. So, yep, they've got a little bit of history now. They're quite strong, so we'll see. We are as well, though.
Looking forward to that, though.
Yeah, I always look forward to those games.
Yeah,
that's a proper benchmark game, isn't it? To see how far we've come, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, apart from the second result against Wimbledon, we were certainly as good as them in the first game and could have won. Yeah, unfortunately, we took a bit of a hit with some of the players all getting injured at the same time. But that's why you got a squad, and we were able to compete with them. In both games, albeit the second half of one, we shipped a few goals. So I was still really pleased with the bravery and how the players tried to play. So our principles stood fast, but you know sometimes you can't always win.
And the Portsmouth game was good prep, getting that game in. You know,
yeah, we really needed it, to be fair. We needed it because we couldn't go so long without playing and then hit one of the top teams. And we also had the opportunity to play some players who trained but hadn't got any minutes for a few weeks because they'd been injured. So, yeah, it worked out pretty well. And the performance was really good. So it was nice to get that one done.
Is there a trialist playing as well on Sunday?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that might come to fruition over the next week or so.
That'd be interesting to see. John, I noticed there's a handful of games before the festive period and there's no games at all until the new year where we're away pretty much every week.
All the time, yeah.
How do you prepare for that? Obviously, I'm sure you obviously train during the festive period, but like with no competitive game, we'd be looking at doing a friendly or two. And,
it's really difficult to do that because a lot of the teams that we'd want friendlies with are probably having a break anyway. So we've just got to judge that the players will be fit and strong as they keep themselves fit and strong. So, you know, have the break, and whether we come back or we do something in between, we've got to make that decision at the moment.
Is this when we tell Becky who's in the room that we're going warm weather training in Dubai?
Well, we could do that if we do maybe a crowd fund.
I could get some discounts for you. There we go, sorted.
It'd be nice to do that.
Yeah, no, it would be. John, good luck for it. I mean, it's going to be weird because we won't really see you at home till after a couple of fixtures until the new year now.
No, I mean, we have got some slots where they're looking at putting us in. I think we've just jumped one in on the 26th, but that is now away to Ashford. And then we have got some slots where I think the league are looking at it because of some other teams were out of the cups, so they're looking at the league thing. So we might get
just keep an eye on the website and we'll see if we've got some games. Yeah, but if we don't see you before, have a wicked Christmas.
Thank you very much.
So I don't think we'll probably get our asses in gear and do another podcast by then. I don't think, guys, will we? Maybe we will. Maybe we will, John. So we'll let you know. But yeah, good luck, and we'll see you otherwise in the new year.
Yeah.
Cheers, John.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
She is a gold machine.
One of, as Jacko says, she is a gold machine. Becky Barr joined us in the summer. from AFC Wimbledon, who we're talking about. And I think she's been a brilliant signing. I really do. And you said, yeah, some of the goals she scored, seen them on the highlights, and you've seen them in person. What are you?
She'll shoot from anywhere, won't she? Which is always
she does, great but C is different class. You know, she's a fantastic player. You know, I think there's a few players who really stand out, but I think she's one of them. She's just a constant threat and goal. And, you know, when you it's an away game and you look at Twitter, who scored? Becky Barth.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost a given.
Yeah, no.
And, it's another brilliant John signing.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. We'll sit down and talk with her. It's interesting, I think, how she sort of, his first signing, I think, we've spoken to that doesn't really know John.
Yeah, that was quite surprising because every player we speak to, I know John for such and such, and I've known him for so many years. Mm. And that's the reason I came to join Worthing. But, you know, Becky is completely different.
Now she's loving it. Now she's loving it. But let's speak to Becky. I mean, some amazing history of her. Like, started Bournemouth, Portsmouth, AFC Wimbledon, Chelsea Academy, Southampton Academy, as you'll hear much of her childhood. But let's sit down with Becky.
This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
Becky Buff, it's really good to have you on the podcast because I do remember us tweeting when you joined the club, welcome to the club, look forward to having you on the podcast. It's taken 4 episodes, but you're here now.
Welcome to
Rebel
Yell
Podcast. How have you found it so far? We're sort of a few months into the season, new player at Worthing. Enjoying it?
Yeah, I love it, to be fair. Probably up there, one of the most enjoyable clubs I've played for. It's just such a nice environment. Like, the girls are lovely. John's all right. No, he's nice.
He's not in the room, but so he's there, whatever.
Everyone's just lovely. And from the second I started here, it's just been so welcoming.
Yeah, so how did the signing come about? Because from looking at your career, did you really know John? Because a lot of the players that have come have sort of had paths crossed with John in the past. I'm not 100% sure if you would have had.
No, so I did. So it's really weird because I didn't know this until I joined, but John had put in an approach to me when I was at Pompey.
Okay.
And they just didn't tell me about it. That's when he was at Lewis. Mm-hmm. So obviously I probably would have been convinced to go there, being the league above and stuff. But I didn't actually know John, though. I knew people who knew John, and they kind of put in a good word. And I was just having a little look around. I didn't really know where I wanted to go because I was living up in Reading. So I'd moved down to Southampton area and I wanted somewhere quite local, but.
Worthing is local to Southampton.
Yeah.
Well, Reading to AFC Wimbledon probably wasn't that local, was it?
No, it was probably about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially like London traffic. But yeah, so I wanted something quite local and one of the girls that I know sold me a dream really with John. And it's planned out quite well.
One of the girls that plays there now?
No. Someone who was, I think she was at Brighton with him or Lewis with him. And she just basically, told me about him and who I am.
And the reality matches?
Yeah, it does match.
That's what I like to hear. So you've had a career of some quite big Southern clubs, Bournemouth, Portsmouth, mm-hmm. AFC Wimbledon was your last club.
Yeah.
Obviously, completely different kettle of fish come to Worthing because no mackerel intended, we should say. So you said you had a good. Was it really the best player selling John to you that thought he must have had a few clubs come in because you don't just play for Bournemouth, Portsmouth, and Wimbledon if you're no good in the game. So you know you're good quality players, shows on the pitch. Like, to come to Worthing, was it just the journey they're bringing, the journey they're taking? You wanted to be part of it?
Yeah, so I came down to watch them against, I can't remember who they played against actually, when they had won. That evening they'd had an evening game and they won.
Oh, was that the league?
When they won the league?
Yeah, when they won the league, yeah. Yeah, I came down to watch that one. And
that was the worst game actually to gone to, if I'm really honest.
Well, they won the league. So
they won the league, but I think to watch the game was the worst game to watch as a supporter.
Because it was stressful.
It was stressful.
We made really hard work for that, because that was Acorns who had beaten
Acorns, that's it.
9-0 literally a few weeks before, and they really struggled.
It's pressure, isn't it?
But then at the time, you would have been a neutral, so that was like,
and I could see that there was a few players that really stood out that game for me, and I thought, like, I could definitely enjoy sharing the pitch with them. But it was just more the vibe. Like, everyone seemed to be really like tight and close, and it shows from the pitch. So
everyone gets on the pitch and off the pitch.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. God. Yeah. We've got a really good bunch of girls down here. So that kind of sold it for me. At that point, I was still looking at other clubs. I was still trialing around and having a little look. I had clubs coming in, like you said, and I came down to Worthing, just trained once, and I was like, yeah.
That's me.
And I think it was a John knows so much about football and actually how to treat the girls. It's completely different to men's football. Like, you can't just say that was rubbish.
You know what, yeah. Don't take us off the air just yet.
Yeah, that was, it's hard to deal with women's emotions, as you probably know. So it's completely different. And I just could see how much he enjoyed being present with the girls and stuff.
So let's talk about your career. So what got you into football? Have you always had a family that likes football? Yeah. Where, are you from the south?
I'm from the south, yeah. So I grew up in a place called Fareham, which is in between Portsmouth and Southampton.
So you're a red or a blue then?
Oh, I'm a blue.
Don't tell his son that.
Oh, God.
He's Southampton.
I wasn't your son in the
Well, I went to
shirt.
See... Oh, yeah, no.
I went to him. You got a bit of...
Oh, I'm dirt. Sorry.
Yeah.
It was. It was my son.
Sorry. Oh. I said to him, you got a bit of dirt on your top.
Yeah, he's used to it. You know, it's prousy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Couldn't be led playing for Southampton. Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, I was at Fratton Park on Saturday, and we never lose to Portsmouth Charlton. So,
What's that?
Charlton 2, Portsmouth 2 on Saturday. What?
Due to what?
Charlton, Portsmouth. Oh, I got a bit of dirt on the shirt. Yeah. Portsmouth.
No, I don't mind Charlton. All right.
No, we can't. You can never beat us. But anyway, no, we're not talking about Charlton. So you're from the south. So how did you get into football? Family? Like,
so yeah,
you know.
My brothers. I've got two brothers, and my dad was a really good footballer actually. And it was just.
On a professional level or sort of like...
Yeah, I mean, could have been professional. Went down another route. But he played for Pompey. He was like really, really well known around our area and stuff. And like even now walking down the street, everyone knows who he is. So it's really, really annoying
actually.
So now
this is my daughter. She's a footballer now. And there you go.
I actually used to be a ballet dancer, believe it or not. And I was really good. Really, really good actually.
So a new nickname of Twinkle Toes on the pitch or something like that? That would be good.
Yeah, and I think I must have started for like my school team and that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And got then the bug?
I got the bug. Started off with a local team, got scouted for Southampton. From there, I got scouted to Chelsea and that's where I spent my academy days. So from the age, I think I was about 11 up until I was 17, I was at Chelsea, 16, 17. And then my dad kind of was like, you have to move up there and study up there and play for Chelsea or come to a team back down here. And that's when I first joined Portsmouth.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it like a good homecoming going to Portsmouth? Because obviously, you talk to any footballer and you get an opportunity, even if you support a club with the rivals, you're not going to turn it down. Like, you've seen plenty of play. I think, Jamie Carragher was a famous Evertonian, wasn't he? But he's like, you know, Liverpool and stuff like that. You're not going to turn it down.
No.
So, but was it hard to like accept like an academy status at Southampton being a Portsmouth fan?
Yeah, I didn't ever let that badge touch me. I wore a shirt.
Did you wear like three layers underneath?
Every single time, yeah.
What, a bandage and a gauze and everything?
I just wore an Under Armour. I was just sweating in the summer. Yeah, I think back then, I mean, even now, as you know, with the Southampton women, Southampton ladies, they are better than Portsmouth. And I think that's because the men just back it more. And they did ever since I went there at their academy. Yeah, so... I had to swallow my pride a little bit, but I did it.
And what was it like being at Chelsea in the academy? It must have been amazing to be for those facilities.
It was amazing
because
back then when like Frank Lampard and John Terry and that, when you saw them, they used to walk past you in training, you were like starstruck. You were treated really well. Like you got all your kit and drinks and everything. And back then that was a massive thing, getting like Gatorade and Lucozade before your sessions. It was really good. It was hard work because obviously there's a lot of travel. 4 times a week it was. But really weird, my best friend actually was there with me, so we traveled up, like her dad would do one day, my dad would do the next, and vice versa. Like that's just how it went, but it was good.
Did you get much interaction with Emma Hayes? Obviously she's now gone and become the manager of USA. There at that time?
No, she wasn't there at that time.
So that's an amazing move for like,
I think she's a great manager, Emma Hayes.
Yeah.
Oh, she is. She needs the next step though, doesn't she? You know, so fair play to her.
I think she could manage in a men's game.
Oh, absolutely.
There will, in the next few years, there will be that first. Well, Forest Green did it, didn't they? But then they decided to go back on it again.
Yeah, think Forest Green was publicity stunt, wasn't it? Because she never really managed.
Yes.
Interim manager, and that was it. She never managed.
It was close season, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was.
It will happen. So, from an outside point of view, we talk about like international football. Have you seen the sort of impact that the Lionesses have done on the women's game?
Absolutely.
Coming up? And do you wish that had happened maybe 10 years earlier, like, you know, when you were coming through the game and everything like that? You know, it's just amazing to see now. You see, like, you know, England have got their own women's shirt. We both own.
Well, it's now, like you're saying, you know, being at Chelsea and seeing Frank Lampard and John Terry every day, you know, now now for the young girls at Chelsea, it's in Sam Kerr every day.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. Obviously, as everyone knows, the women's game's completely evolved and it's incredible. Of course, there's a bit of me that thinks, oh, I wish that happened when I was younger. But it's actually quite nice for me to kind of sit back. And even now, like playing in a tier four team, the amount of young girls you inspire, like I actually link it to my work and the kids think I'm amazing. I'm like, I'm just this normal
And what
person.
Do you do for work, may I ask?
So I run a mentoring business.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really good. So I go into schools and with the kids who are struggling with whatever and not going to lessons and stuff, I just...
Brilliant.
Do you want to go and play football? And they're like, yeah, go to your lesson and then we can play football. Yeah.
So from that, like obviously the club, there is talk about becoming a women's pathway. You've seen how successful the men's pathways. We've had players now playing in the English Football League, you know, some in Premier League teams, Championship teams.
Yeah.
I guess... You know, if you were to stay at Worthing for a few years now, you'd love to see something come of that.
Oh, absolutely. I do know as well, and obviously I've been in the game a long time with women's football, it's led by the players on the pitch, the managers. Like we have to get to that next stage, tier three. It will hopefully
happen.
Hopefully.
Well, I think early way's up really, isn't it, lad? So, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
We always, and this is the thing I didn't tell you that we're going to do, we always ask for an interesting fact. Can you beat Emma's when she lost a kidney for a tackle?
I mean, that is an interesting.
That's unbelievable. Yeah, we were sitting here like
we were going to retire this yeah. item then.
I know.
And
then, I don't like, think I'll what? Ever beat that.
No.
Can you come close? Yeah. Or, but yeah. Everyone's interesting. In fact, everyone's different. So yours might be a really
something interesting you've done or somebody interesting you've met.
Well, Nicky Wheeler, that from the men's team we interviewed before, he cut Kate Middleton's hair. He told us. I think that's a pretty big.
Did you think that's genuine?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Well, didn't he at Dorking? He
no,
said
there was a rumour that he cut somebody's hair at Dorking, but apparently there was all a joke from Mark Wright. So
it could be a continuation of a joke, but it could be, you know, you never know.
He's
got good locks on him, so you know.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think an interesting fact about me is that I did already touch on it, so I used to dance.
Yeah, yeah,
and
okay.
I was very, without blowing my
almost
trumpet.
Professional. Or professional?
I wouldn't say professional, but like when you dance, you do like exams. And mm-hmm. I was always like top of our whole dance class, like dance school.
Mm.
And I did love it every
and
day.
And was football the reason you stopped that? Like?
Yeah, my dad literally said you can't do both. Like your training clashes, your training and your lessons clash. Like choose one. So I did choose football.
So have you danced anywhere interesting? Any nice big venues?
Ballroom in Blackpool, you mean? BBC television studios.
I wouldn't say I've danced anywhere interesting, but I've been all around the country doing like competitions and stuff like that.
Wow. There we go.
I can't really remember it because I was young. But,
so when you retire from football, strictly come dancing maybe?
Oh, you might catch me around on there. When I retire from football, I'm retiring from
you're
everything.
You're retiring, there we go.
My legs haven't got much left in them.
Becky Buff, thank you very much.
No worries,
and good luck
me.
For the rest of the season.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Guys, another action-packed podcast this month. Can't shut us up really, can you?
No, you can't. You can try,
especially
but we
me.
Don't.
She said it.
Yeah, oh, here he goes. You know, as I say, a rollercoaster of a month for both the men's and women's teams. You know, some losses, some wins, some quite shocking results in terms of some of them we've seen, but then performances that maybe haven't matched the result. But that's all love and fair in the world of supporting Worthing and football in general.
That's football.
It is. It sounds very cliche, but it's true. And you know, let's be honest, we've been spoiled for the last four seasons here. You know, we won a title, we got promoted, we played some wonderful football. Our first year in National League, we made it to the semi-finals for the playoffs. You know, dreams are made of that, isn't it?
You know, we can hardly sit here and complain that we've lost in the first round of the FA Cup. You know,
but we've got, you know what I'm looking forward to? I mean, this will come out in time for throwing through whatever. I'm hoping for running the trophy because I would take that. If we could be doing a live Rebel Yell special down Wembley Way before the FA Trophy final, I think any of us in this room would take that. You know, making sure we're safe in the league. I think this season, seeing some of the teams, I think it will be a tough gift to go up, not because we're not capable. But I think from some of the other teams around, I mean, I personally think Yeovil were given to go up. And I don't know, like, would it be Torquay? Would it be Maidstone? Like, maybe going to win the playoffs? It's going to be a lot harder this year than it was last.
I think it will be harder than last year. But, you know, you never know. Like, in Holland, we say the ball is round, so anything can happen.
There's a lot of games to go. There's a lot of games to be played.
A lot of Christmas turkeys to be eaten. quite a lot of action coming this way very soon. If we don't come on air before Christmas, then we'll have a New Year and Christmas header over Eastbourne, isn't it?
Eastbourne, Sussex Derby, East versus West.
Eastbourne, another club that gone full time this year, maybe haven't done as well as people expected them to, but it's a new sort of set for them, isn't it?
It is, but they went all with artificial intelligence, didn't they? To recruit.
Oh yeah, they're doing something with AI, weren't they?
And
yeah.
The manager, he's a good manager, but is he right for this level on his own? I'm not sure.
No,
but I could be wrong.
Anything you're looking forward to? Any games you're looking forward to in the next few? I'm looking forward to seeing the trophy. Like I'm looking forward to see how far we can go in the trophy, because I think time we next come on air, we could have had the next round if we get successful. Yeah, we would have had the next round.
Yeah, no, really looking forward to the Froome game. Somewhere different. You know, literally completely unexpected. Don't know what, you know, if it's a good cup day like it was for Alfred, then I'm all for it.
Have you managed to find any local beverages? Beverageino, Spence, I'm sure you would have found some.
Not yet, but I'm sure we will.
But you know, one thing I am quite looking forward to say goodbye to West Country, some bloody long away days all in a row. I mean, it's been incessant, hasn't it? You know, if I ain't going up to Alfreton before, I was just going west, Bath, Taunton, Froome.
Western.
Luckily, I mean, Spencer, I did say to you, didn't I? I did message you. Obviously, I was never coming anyway because of work reasons. I managed to get to a Charlton-Portsmouth game. But I did say to Spencer, I said, were you quite relieved that you didn't have to do another West Country way down? Your answer was?
Yep.
He didn't have to get his other co-op. I know it's the way down where Spencer gets his co-op meal deal with his co-op card, knocking a quid off. But it does take its time. I mean, you're with your mates. It's just the travelling. That's what takes its toll, isn't it?
It's a lot of time on buses and coaches every Saturday at the moment.
Jack's all right. He goes with his son. I mean, that's probably more excruciating than being on the coach, isn't it? Being with Jack sometimes, bless his little heart.
No, we can't say that.
Yeah. No, he's nodding his head right now. Jack, if you're listening to this, yeah. Oh, no, he's not.
That's terrible. No, I know.
What an awful parent you are.
I'm terrible. No, I just know, unfortunately, Froome I can't make. But, you know, I think it is something that if we're going up to the National League, it is something we have to get used to do the distance.
So it's going to be overnight.
WFCSA Travel become an atoll protected travel agent, I think, won't it?
With hotels. But to come back to your original question, games I'm looking forward to. Hey, I look forward to every game. But especially looking for the Christmas and the New Year's fixtures, because I think there's something about it, isn't it? It's just, I love it.
Christmas football's brilliant.
It's brilliant. And, you know, and I do like a Tuesday night under the lights. The results don't always go away, but there's nothing better for me.
Especially the last two Tuesdays, it's actually been raining all day, but it's been that really quite nice sort of, it's not too cold, but it's not rainy, it's not windy. It's just that nice bitterness to the air, isn't it? And I like that.
Yeah, but, you know, the last, you know, every home game, obviously the last home game, disappointed, but we still have a laugh. You know, and I think that's with your mates, and I think that's what it's all about, isn't it, coming to football? You know, having a laugh, watch a bit of football, you know, sing a few songs, and hopefully go home with 3 points.
I think that was Alfred, wasn't it? It was like cracking day out with your mates with a bit of football getting in the way.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought, like we said, it was a great day.
That's why we don't take football too seriously. There's no point taking football too seriously. Enjoy it with your mates. You lose, you lose. Just enjoy your time with your mates. Enjoy the football and, you know, enjoy watching Worthing. And I think that's what we can say to everyone. You'll go through bad patches, you'll go through rough patches. But, you know, we enjoy Worthing for what it is. We've made good friendships here. We know, form podcasts, you know, we do it because we love the game and we love Worthing FC, and we are going to have those blips. And I think, unless we all get through it, we'll see. We, you know, look at Tuesday night's match. I think if it hadn't been for that unlucky last minute sort of goal, I think we might have taken that game. I generally do, because we played very well, as you said. And some people say it's one of the best performances of the season, let alone.
I think it was one of the best performances I've seen at home this year. I think maybe Torquay away was better the first game of the season. But, you know, obviously I want to win every game, like everybody wants. But, you know, sometimes you lose. But it's also sometimes the way you lose, isn't it? If the players, on Tuesday night, the players were on the pitch, they gave everything, you know. You can't ask more, can we? Yeah.
Works other ways. There'd be other ways where you don't play particularly well, nick a goal and something, you've got to win out. So,
Yeah. Well, anyway, we've had some good away days, and as I said, I'm glad someone. But thank you for those that have supported WFCSA Travel, brought to you by Box Direct, because we have had a lot of seats being booked. We have got a few on sale at the moment, so do check out the website over the next couple of months. But please do support us, because honestly, and it's not to, it's use it or lose it, because if we end up making a loss, guys, I think you can agree, and it's not there to be threatening, but we can't afford as a sports association to subsidise empty seats. We're putting this service on for you, so please support us by putting this service on.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think we've been a bit unlucky with quite a lot of away games. That's on the trot. Yeah. You know, it's not evenly spread over the season, unfortunately. And yeah, I understand people. You can't spend your money once.
Yeah. But it's a lot of away games on the trot, and they're high cost. High cost, but also long distance. So it's time as well for people.
And with away games, you have a guy on the coach called Spencer who likes a good old service station. So Spencer, Toddington Services this month. How would you rate Toddington Services?
What do you want? An out of five?
Well, I mean, let's do it on the Spencer scale out of five. So let's do it first. Food facility.
Food drop. I can't believe we're doing this. But is this actually going to make the cut?
Yeah.
Right. So food services. Yeah, food was okay.
What was your pick of the food?
Well, on the way it was Greg's. Return was KFC.
I would say it was cold though, wasn't it? The Greg's sausage was cold.
It was the end of the breakfast service, without getting into too much detail. So the food offerings weren't great, which then therefore led to an enormous queue in Greg's, because that was the only decent option. Pretty rough services. Put off immediately upon walking in by the youths with cans of beer on the way in, Jensen Price. Layout wasn't good. You had to walk through the whole services to get to the toilets. Weren't impressed with that either.
So let's do food out of 10. Out of 10 for food.
I'll do a general over. I'll do it out of 5 and give it a 2.
2 out of 5 for food. Toilet facilities.
The coach park was also miles away from the services, whereas coaches normally get to park.
Toilet facilities? Clean? No? It's grubby? Okay. 1, 2.
Can't be relieved we're actually talking crap.
Well, get used to it. Literally.
Literally.
Literally. Toilet facilities out of 5.
3.
Oh, they're better than the food facilities then. Yeah. Overall rating?
2.
2 out of 5. Spencer Services, the first time, maybe the last time we ever do it. But, you know, I did say to him, people on the coach, we should do a spec. I think Jerry will go for me for saying that on the way back.
I've just been put on the spot there.
Anyway, we can plan for the next one. So I'll give you a challenge. Next podcast, pick one service and you can rate it, yeah? Deal?
Yeah, it's not going to be due to public demand, is it?
Well, I think we could be onto a thing here. Guys, we have still got the odd bit of t-shirt remaining. We've got a few sizes left, so they are for sale on WFCSA Travel website. Do contact us if you'd like to purchase them, and do keep an eye out, because we have got a very exciting collab coming very soon. By the time it gets to Christmas, you will know what this is. If you are saving, if you want some sort of football or Worthing related merchandise, trust me, you want to save it. It also will be supporting a local charity that's dear to our heart, so do keep an eye out on your social medias. The club are fully behind it and looking forward to it. It's an exciting project, Spencer, and this was all done on the back of a beer mat, really, wasn't it?
Literally.
It literally was. Most of the things me and Spencer do for Rebel Yell are on the back of a beer mat, including the t-shirts. But we have got the Woodside Road t-shirt still available, £12 adults. We've got some limited kid size.
Limited sizes, I must
say. Thanks again to our sponsors, MK Window Cleaning and Price Jones Electrical, for your continued support. Do use us. Tweet us at Rebel Yell WFCSA on social media. And chaps, I'll see you around, but looking forward to next month or so, and we'll be back with you maybe before Christmas, but probably after.
We'll see.
Yeah. Farewell.
Farewell.
Good night.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.